Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, actress and talk show host Ricki Lake on her new documentary, Breast Milk, which shows some of the struggles moms have breastfeeding, not just the joys, and even breast milk sharing networks that have been reported as risky, but that Ricki Lake used herself. Also today, the mystery of the September lane closures on the George Washington Bridge. Did you suffer from those? And was it political payback by Governor Christie, as a new accusation suggests? Plus, understanding Tea Party Americans, a filmmaker's view of why people come to Tea Party opinions in the Obama era, and a Harper's Index quiz today. Call in to see if you know the latest set of statistics from the Harper's Magazine data crawl. For example, the percentage of U.S. Jews who believe God gave Israel to the Jewish people versus the percentage of U.S. evangelicals who believe that, and many other Harper's Index stats that we'll see if you know, coming up later in the show. But first, will the president's Obamacare Band-Aid work in New York and New Jersey? WNYC health reporter Fred Mogul is here with health policy expert Elizabeth Benjamin. She's vice president of health initiatives at the Community Service Society, which advocates on behalf of lower-income New Yorkers, and co-founder of the group Healthcare for All New York. And they will talk with us about the president's reversal yesterday and give you advice, if you want it, on how to get your old insurance policy back. Hi, Elizabeth. Hi, Fred.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
And listeners, do any of you listening right now want your old insurance policy back? Call in and tell us what it was, and we'll talk about how to proceed. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And here is the president feeling your pain in his news conference yesterday.
I completely get how upsetting this can be for a lot of Americans, particularly after assurances they heard from me that if they had a plan that they liked, they could keep it. And to those Americans, I hear you loud and clear. I said that I would do everything we can to fix this problem, and today I'm offering an idea that will help do it.
President Obama yesterday, listeners, many of you have called telling us you were unhappy about your insurance cancellations. So who's out there who wants your canceled insurance policy back? 212-433-WNYC. Call in and tell us what it was, and we'll talk about how you might get it back and if that's a good idea. 212-433-9692. So Fred Mogul, WNYC health correspondent, one important fact here is that President Obama did not fully keep his promise yesterday by requiring insurance companies to let you keep your current policy if you like it, period. He merely allowed insurance companies to do that and allowed the insurance commissioners of each state to decide whether that will be allowed at the state level. Why didn't he just require it?
I don't know that he could. The insurance companies, you know, by structure almost, don't necessarily keep plans year in, year out. They regularly sunset old ones and replace them with new ones. The benefits are constantly changing. The rates obviously are constantly changing. And that amounts to typically more than just a tweak. You know, people, yes, indeed, do get the same policy with the rate increased, but often enough they do get canceled. So it's in the kind of warp and woof of the insurance business as a whole. Now, having canceled all these plans, even if they wanted to, the insurance companies have a lot of challenges because they set rates, you know, each and every year. They make assumptions. And part of baking into those assumptions has been this idea that a lot of people will be going into these new exchanges, that it, you know, their old policies that had X, Y, and Z benefits aren't sufficient. They need to issue new policies, and so they're going to migrate these people. And so to just kind of dust off those policies, it isn't going to be so easy.
So, Elizabeth Benjamin, do you know yet whether it will be allowed in our area by the state insurance commissioners and whether the insurance companies will offer those policies back?
Well, I know in New York that this is sort of, I mean, I think we have to take a step back. First of all, in New York, this is sort of essentially a non-issue. In New York, we have sort of a reverse phenomena in the rest of the country. In the rest of the country, health insurance and plans were essentially allowed to discriminate against people based on their health status, about their gender, on whatever they wanted to do through this process called medical underwriting. In New York, that was not allowed for, you know, several decades now. And so health insurance plans have become extremely expensive on the individual market. And as a result, with the passage of the Affordable Care Act, as we've seen, our health insurance rates are dropping, you know, through the floor by as much as 50%. And so for the select group of people, you know, we basically, back up, you know, last spring, we fixed all our state insurance laws to conform with the Affordable Care Act. Now plans in the individual and small group markets must, and small group means less than 50 employees, must offer essential health benefits. They always were never allowed to discriminate based on pre-existing conditions. So really it's that they now what's going on in New York State is you're able to get better products for cheaper. There was a small group of people we were worried about, and we caught it, actually, at last spring. And it was people in the individual market. There were a couple of thousand of them who had out-of-network coverage. And we were pretty concerned, and we were right, that we sort of had the foresight to figure this out, that the plans in the exchange, in the marketplace, these new marketplaces, would not be offering out-of-network coverage in the individual market. And so for people who currently have out-of-network coverage in the individual market, they are allowed to keep it. And so there's a couple of thousand of those people, and they're, you know, essentially fine.
When you say out-of-market coverage, out-of-network coverage, that would not be, quote, substandard, right? That would be an extra benefit than is in some of the Obamacare exchange plans, right?
Right. These out-of-network plans may not have the extra benefits, but what they may have is more providers. However, it turns out, and I now know this, for example, Blue Cross Blue Shield, which has the largest provider network, is using identical provider networks both for in its exchange plans and off its exchange plans. So this whole sort of frenzy even around kind of a concern about out-of-network offerings may not being available in the exchange may also not be such a big deal. And number one. And number two, as we well know from running the state consumer assistance program, out-of-network coverage is often very illusory because you think you got everything pre-approved and then you end up with the crazy bill from the anesthesiologist and all that.
I take all of this as a no to my question.
Right. This is not And so because we had changed our laws last spring, I don't believe that there's a legal way for our state superintendent of financial services, who's the chief regulator health insurance industry in New York State. I don't see, absent calling a special session of the legislature, I don't see how he could suddenly say, do over, you know, everybody can keep their plans, nor would it be a good policy move, in my opinion, for the state of New York.
But, Fred, before we go to some calls and hear from some New Yorkers as well as New Jerseyans who might want to get their old policy back, why would it take an act of the legislature? I wonder if it really would take an act of the legislature. You sent me an article from Cranes this morning that noted that the state legislature had passed a bill requiring New York State to be in compliance with the Obamacare requirements by January 1st, 2014. But if the president himself now, under Obamacare, is allowing insurance companies to go back and re-up people on the plans that are being canceled, then that is in compliance with Obamacare, isn't it?
I would think so. And I'm not sure, you know, and Elizabeth knows more about this than I do, but there is often enough a little bit of wiggle room in the kind of the gray zone between statutory law, in this case sort of budgetary statutory law, and regulation. And I'm not sure what kind of wiggle room the superintendent does or doesn't have. But, yes, it would seem that he is, by definition, kind of in compliance with the federal change because that's the ACA. On the other hand, on the federal level, there's also a little gray zone between what's in the law and what's in the kind of regulatory gray zone.
Let's hear from one of those people. Alan in Westchester, thank you for calling. You're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, thank you. You know, I'm one of the people whose policy was canceled. I received a notice, and unfortunately, the baby's been thrown out with the bathwater. My rates will go up because the nearest thing that I could find to what I have at present through December 31st is at least $110 more per year, and it's certainly not, it's barely equivalent, and it's no better. So the politicians are trying to now unring the bell. I wish them luck, you know, in all of their scurrying and narcissism, but something really has to be done. It has to serve the public. Maybe they should just make Medicare universal or go back to the way we were.
Do you know what was in your old policy, and have you shopped on the exchange to see if your new you know, the best you could get would be better for you and more affordable?
Well, I did shop not on the exchange, but through a private broker that had access to, you know, the entire exchange, and there were packages and programs by a variety of providers. Basically, it's for the most part the same cast of characters with a few new insurers added who really don't have a track record. So a lot of these things have been repackaged and re-rated. You know, it's not, you know, it's not all that different. It won't affect me with a great deal of difference. There's a little bit of confusion when you market any competing health insurance policies. But I can say with absolute certainty that it is going to cost me, for an individual employee policy, $110 more per person. So you're talking about over $1,200 a year. So that's the effect. Mm-hmm. And maybe they can unring the bell.
Alan, thank you very much. Let's go to someone else. Deborah in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how are you? I'm very similar to the last caller in that I'm a sole proprietor of my business, so I had to get a special policy with Oxford that was for is for sole proprietors, and I was very happy with it. I had a bike accident this summer that tested it, and it was very good coverage. And I also work with a private broker, and for I pay about $550 currently, and it's going to cost me about $100 more a month for an equivalent policy.
So if you could, you would take advantage of the president's offer to get your old insurance policy back?
If I could, yes, I would.
So, Elizabeth Benjamin, what can Deborah do? Anything?
Well, I mean, this is the tricky thing. Sole proprietors were always, who are individuals, were essentially, about a decade ago, were allowed to not be counted as individuals anymore. And they were rated in our small group market. So they were benefiting so all the small groups, everybody in small group, all the small employers, there's around 3 million of them, were all put together. And the sole proprietors were allowed to be counted as if they were small businesses. And, of course, you know, they feel like they are small businesses. They are entrepreneurs. Yeah, right. So I'm not denying that. But the problem is that many sole proprietors, you know, are individuals at the end of the day. And so it was a policy choice that, you know, that those folks should go into the individual market. Now, if they're not doing very well as a sole proprietor, they would be eligible for really great subsidies in the individual market. So if they were earning, for example, less than $45,000 a year as an individual or less than $94,000 a year as a family of four, they would benefit from subsidies. But if they're doing well, they are going to lose the benefit of being rated along with 3 million other small businesses because now they're going to be going into the individual market and they will be experiencing some rate increases.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm still there.
You are.
But I just wanted to say
you are. You're doing great.
Go ahead, Deborah.
Oh, thank you. Just that I keep hearing that people were being dropped because the policies weren't up to par. And I kept thinking, well, gee, in my case, that's not true. And I'm sure that in a lot of people's cases, that's not true. And
in other words, you think that your policy had all the standards that Obamacare requires. So, Fred, why would somebody like Deborah have been dropped?
Well, it's entirely possible that Oxford decided it's not worth them to keep Debbie in this one product line if they didn't have enough people like her, or if it was worth their time, they probably wouldn't cancel it. I would think they had to make you know, again, complex assumptions about how many people would, you know, would stay in the old world versus go into the new world on the exchange. And if it was, I think if it was sufficiently profitable, they probably would have kept it if they didn't have any obligation. If it did indeed meet all the essential health benefits, there's no legal reason why they had to. And again, Elizabeth could maybe clarify. I think it would be a business decision on their part.
Deborah, thank you for your call. Good luck. We're talking about the president's promise yesterday that, or at least his offer, to allow insurance companies to re-up people onto their old canceled insurance plans and not require them for another year to meet all the standards of the Obamacare law. We're talking about this with you if you have one of those canceled plans and you want it back, how to get it back, with Fred Mogul, WNYC health reporter, and Elizabeth Benjamin, vice president of health initiatives at the Community Service Society and co-founder of the group Healthcare for All New York. Now, another way that the president did not keep his original promise yesterday, his full original promise, was in allowing these extensions for only 1 year. He didn't say in 2010 that you can keep your insurance policy if you like it for 1 year period, he said.
And if you like your insurance plan, you will keep it. No one will be able to take that away from it. It hasn't happened yet. It won't happen in the future.
The president in 2010. So here's the president from yesterday's news conference acknowledging.
There is no doubt that the way I put that forward unequivocally ended up not being accurate.
And why did he put it that way, unequivocally?
My working assumption was that the majority of those folks would find better policies at lower costs or the same costs in the marketplaces, and that the universe of folks who potentially would not find a better deal in the marketplaces, the grandfather clause would work sufficiently for them. And it didn't. That's something I deeply regret because it's scary getting a cancellation notice.
And then an interesting follow-up question from Major Garrett of CBS News.
Did you decide, sir, that the simple declaration was something the American people could handle, but this nuanced answer you just gave now was something they couldn't handle, and you didn't trust the American people with a fuller truth?
No. My expectation was that for 98% of the American people, either it genuinely wouldn't change at all, or they'd be pleasantly surprised with the options in the marketplace, and that the grandfather clause would cover the rest. That proved not to be the case. And that's on me.
President Obama from his news conference yesterday. So, Elizabeth Benjamin, it seems like many Democratic members of Congress say they didn't really understand that so many people would lose policies they were satisfied with and be forced to more expensive, more comprehensive ones. You heard what the president said there. As a healthcare expert and advocate for healthcare for all, when did that become clear to you?
Well, we realized it in last spring, and that's why we did the grandfathering for the 2,000 people. With the out-of-network policies and that in the state law, when we did the law that conformed our state insurance regulation. And remember, insurance carriers are mostly regulated at the state level in this individual and small group markets. So we did that fix last spring because we knew right then. I think for the sole proprietors, it's always been Healthcare for All New York's position that sole proprietors, it's sort of unfair to them that they are now being suddenly put into the individual market. And the answer is, which we've long argued for the last, you know, 5 years that we've been in existence, the individual market and the small group market should all be merged together so we have one powerful, you know, individual and small group market of essentially 4 or 5 million people. And that's, in fact, what Massachusetts did, and that's the right policy solution for this particular problem in New York State.
Which brings us, I think,
Deborah and these others would not be experiencing these rate increases.
And I think that brings us this idea of merging the individual market and the small group market to Lorraine in Port Washington. Lorraine, thank you for calling. You're on WNYC.
Hi. I have a question about the doctors or lack of doctors in the new plans. I currently have an EPO, which means I don't have to get referrals. It's a small business plan through Healthy New York. And no one's talking about Healthy New York and the changes that's going through. So that plan was canceled because it was a great plan, but it did not have mental health. So now I was sent to the exchange. I look on the exchanges. I call the insurance companies that are participating in Nassau County because it's different depending where you live. And I check the network of doctors. Of course, none of my doctors are on it. And I also had medical problems this year. I'm under doctor's care for certain things. None of those doctors are on it. I would need new doctors. And there's no doctors anywhere where I live. There's very, very few.
And
so
let me just...
primary care doctor. Mm-hmm. There's very few. The specialist, there's very few. I called up. They said, go to the emergency room if you have a problem, or go to the Bronx where there's more doctors in your network.
Which carrier do you have right now?
Emblem
with your
Health.
EPO? Emblem? Okay, so
they said none of the doctors in your area really want to participate in any of the exchange plans.
Lorraine, before
Emblem,
I get an answer for you from Elizabeth Benjamin, did you get a notice that your Healthy New York Small Business Plan was going to be eliminated?
Yes, I did.
So, Elizabeth, what can she do?
Well, that's interesting to me because Healthy New York for Small Businesses was unchanged. So that plan should still be in existence,
that's
which
not
is
true.
Sort of interesting. I know. I mean, I believe you. I'm not. I mean, it's interesting to me because the Healthy New York for Small Business program is still in effect. Now, it is true that the Healthy New York for Individual People is no longer in effect, and those folks have had their policies canceled. And the reason for that is if you're an individual and on Healthy New York, you needed to be earning less than 250% of poverty. And you had a plan that had basically an actuarial value of 70%, where the carrier only pays 70%, you pay 30% of your medical costs. And everybody under 250% of poverty was going to do better in the exchange and get much higher quality plans, and they would be eligible for subsidies at much cheaper costs. The small group Healthy New York program should still be in effect, and I'm curious why Emblem, number one, is saying that it isn't in effect anymore, and number two, why they wouldn't have retained their providers. Because when we push, for example, for a Nassau County resident who was in individual Healthy New York with Empire, and she had to go into the exchange, she actually got a much higher quality Empire product with identical providers, because Empire has no difference in their provider network for products on the exchange and off the exchange. So I think what's happening right now, and Fred and I have talked about this a lot, is that there's this musical chairs going on, and the providers haven't really caught up with the music, and they think that they're not involved with these plans when, in fact, sometimes they are. And then the plans haven't done as great of a, they're still also pursuing the providers, and so the dust hasn't settled yet.
So what can she do? Can she go back to Emblem and say something?
Well, honestly, I would recommend that she get a hold of us, and then we can walk through, we can figure out exactly which plans her doctors are participating in. We can figure out if she's entitled to a small business tax credit. She might want to go through the small business exchange, or we can keep her in her Healthy New York product.
And you're helping individuals with this at the Community Service Society and Healthcare for All?
We're one of the state certified navigator, and we have groups that we work with in all 61 out of 62 counties in New York State. And if she wants to reach out to us, she can call us. Can I tell her the number?
If you want to tell everybody the number.
Okay, great. It's 888-614-5400, 888-614-5400. That's toll-free, and we can get an in-person person to talk to you and go through all these options. Because it is confusing.
Lorraine,
small business EPO plans are all canceled out of Healthy New York.
Right. So Lorraine, I'm going to move on, but you heard the offer to call the Community Service Society, and they will help you.
Well, she doesn't seem to understand what I'm talking about. So, okay, thank you.
But
bye.
Thank you. But do call, and they'll help you either deal with Emblem or deal with another carrier, at least to know what, all your choices are.
Well, and if I could just jump in, one simple thing, and I'm sure Elizabeth would have said it, is that if a lot of people going to these exchanges, frankly, don't have physicians, primary care, or specialists, but those that do, like Lorraine, and for whom it's important, really the first and easiest step is to call them and say, who are you in network with? Are you taking WXY or Z plans? And they might say, you know, we're taking this and that. They might say we're taking none of them, and they might say we're, as Elizabeth suggested, we're figuring it out. Hold on, and we'll let you know.
Elizabeth Benjamin from the Community Service Society and Healthcare for All New York and WNYC health reporter Fred Mogul, as we follow up on the president's announcement yesterday that insurance companies will be allowed for the next year anyway to keep people on those old plans that have been getting canceled. So the president, to some degree, keeps his promise. The president also wanted people to know how substandard the substandard plans are. So we also said this yesterday.
We're also requiring insurers to extend current plans to inform their customers about two things. One, that protections, what protections these renewed plans don't include. Number two, that the marketplace offers new options with better coverage and tax credits that might help you bring down the costs.
So that's pretty interesting, Fred. The insurance companies who are going to reoffer the canceled plans will have to let people know what's not in those plans that are required under Obamacare on the new exchange plans. What do you think the main things would be on that list?
Well, that's interesting. There's a lot of different plans that have, you know, very low benefits. That's why they're cheap. You heard Lorraine talking about her EPO, that she loved its benefits, but one of the reasons it was affordable was it didn't have mental health benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So there's basically... Which are now required. And although I'm a little surprised that it wasn't offered or required, frankly, by state law, but that's a different question. So there is kind of a list of essential health benefits that the insurers will be forced to circulate with their cancellations.
And Elizabeth, briefly, and then we'll take one more person's story. What do you think would be prime on that list? If we were to turn around a month from now and do a call in for people who got their old policies offered back to them, but with this new information about what's actually not covered, that is covered under the Obamacare requirements, and, you know, maybe some turn around and say, oh, well, maybe I really don't want that substandard coverage. What would the big things be on that list for many people?
Sure. Outside of New York, it would be the right to discriminate against you based on your health status or any other reason.
But that's not in the policy, right?
Well, no, sure. That's in the rest of the world.
Meaning they could charge you more for pre-existing conditions,
exactly.
That kind of thing.
Or yes. And so number one, that. Number two, many policies have very high deductibles. Other policies don't offer drug coverage. Four, other policies, we know mental health, but there's also a physical therapy, occupational therapy. There's a whole list of benefits. Any kind of habilitative care is not currently in the many, or the vast majority of policies. And all of that has now going to be required to be in there so that people actually, when they buy health insurance, can get care.
Yeah, that's an interesting list.
So it's a good thing.
Interesting list. So we'll see how people react to that when they do get those offers. And Kim in Long Branch, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kim.
Thanks for having me. Yesterday I felt a huge sigh of relief when I heard the news, because currently as an adjunct I've been paying out of pocket for my insurance, and it's expensive, but it's not as expensive as it could be perhaps at the marketplace, and it's what I need. It's not a great plan, but for what I can afford with my income, it's been perfect, and I would love to keep my insurance, especially because I've been fiercely trying to get onto the marketplace, and I can make a login, then I can't get my application through, so I'm also fearful that depending on how many people do sign up for the health insurance, then if not enough people do, does my premium go way up? I mean, I just don't think I would simply be able to afford it.
And will you take your health plan back if they offer it back to you?
Absolutely.
And do they... Go ahead.
I had gotten a cancellation letter in the mail that as of January 1, they would be canceling my insurance. And I thought, well, I thought the president said that I could keep it, which, you know, I was a little disappointed in. And yesterday I almost cried. I was so excited because of just knowing where I stand with what I'm paying and what I'm getting.
And if they notify you that your policy never actually included all those things that Elizabeth just listed, would that give you pause?
You know, I thought about it, last night and this morning, and for right now, what I need, my plan has been perfect. And maybe after that 1 year grace period ends, I'm absolutely willing to consider, you know, what my options are and to get better coverage. But for right now, I'm not, the uncertainty of what my premium would be really concerns me because I can't possibly afford it.
Kim, thank you very, very much. And Fred, do you know what she can do in New Jersey? We've been talking mostly about New York in this segment and what the legislature passed in New York State. Do you know about New Jersey where there aren't as many, pre-existing guarantees in the health law that are similar to Obamacare? So a lot of this Obamacare stuff is newer in New Jersey than it is in New York in terms of the requirements. Do you know if the New Jersey State Health Commissioner is likely to do what the president said they could do and how Kim should proceed to try to get that policy back?
Well, there are a few things. First of all, New Jersey actually does have quite a few protections, not quite as many as New York. For instance, New Jersey can charge differently for men and women of the same age, but by and large, they can't charge for pre-existing conditions. So it has a pretty robust what they call community rating. So there is that. There are actually fewer insurers overall and many fewer in the exchange, so there's less competition. So that's a variable, but it is difficult to know what the prices are. I think, that's part of the problem with these cancellations is people couldn't get on the exchange.
But she should go right. Should she just? Does she have to wait for something, or should she go right back to her carrier?
Likewise, just because the insurers can offer or extend these or restore these canceled policies, it doesn't mean it's necessarily in their interest to. And even if they do reoffer it, the rate is variable. You know, they can get a big increase in rate. They have to subject that. They have to request approval for rate increases from state regulators. But they could well get a pretty hefty increase to retain that policy.
Which Kim said she was worried about as people defect from these plans and go into the exchanges. But let me ask one last question, Elizabeth, about that point. And developments continue today in Washington as the House might vote on a Republican bill to allow insurers to start selling substandard policies again permanently, and the Senate considers a Democratic bill to allow only the people with the old policies to keep them, but permanently, not just for 1 year as the president proposed. I think the House bill is a poison pill meant to destroy the Obamacare exchange market. But what about the Senate bill, which just enforces the president's original promise to the letter? Insurance companies are saying, well, that's going to mean all these people are not going to join the exchanges, and so we're not going to have the young, healthy ratepayers in there to keep prices down. But is that really true? I mean, part of the president's rationale here that we heard in the clips was that the people losing these substandard plans are a small sliver of the health insurance market in percentage terms, maybe 5%. And many of them will actually choose better plans from the exchanges once they do their comparison shopping. So if that's all true, how could letting a small percentage of people keep their plans destabilize the economics of the new Obamacare exchange markets?
You know, honestly, I think you're exactly right. I was having that same conversation with myself on my walk to work today. And I think even more importantly, those people that are currently insured right now, absent the individual mandate or the requirement, the legal requirement to now have coverage, which will be in place starting January 1st, those folks were pretty motivated to have coverage. And I'm not saying all of them were sick, but we don't know exactly what their risk profiles are. But if I was going to lay bets on that, I would say that it's not a sure thing by any stretch of the imagination that this is a huge healthy population, and therefore
a healthy population, it's not huge.
It's a small number. Exactly. Exactly. It's not huge. It's not clear to me it's super healthy or more healthy than those would be in the exchange.
So can an activist like
non-issue.
So an activist like yourself wanting these guarantees could embrace the Senate bill to allow people like him who's already on, an old policy that she says has what she needs, even though it doesn't meet these new standards, to keep those plans permanently without wrecking the market?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's such a, like you said, I think it's a really small group of people. I think there's so much confusion out there right now. I think the president's idea is the best idea. Let this happen for a year. Let the dust settle. Let us get better at explaining to consumers, all of us get better at explaining to consumers what's going on and why. And that's, I think, the right policy move. But I don't think the Landrieu proposal is the end of the world by any stretch of the imagination.
Democratic Senator Mary Landrieu has that Senate bill. Elizabeth Benjamin, Vice President of Health Initiatives at Community Service Society and co-founder of Healthcare for All New York. You want to give that number again to help people as a navigator?
Sure, 1-888-614-5400, or email us at enroll@cssny.org, enroll@cssny.org.
And listeners, if you missed it and want it, we also have it on our webpage. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehr Show. And WNYC health reporter Fred Mogul, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehr on WNYC. Coming up next, the mystery of the September lane closures on the George Washington Bridge. Was it political payback by Governor Christie? Stay with us.